everybody. Welcome to a Monday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Lexi Murray alongside. We'll take you to 300 after our friend Phil Benatti, his fine show behind the bench, the full 3 hours today. And then it's time for the woe be gone. It be dragging all the time. They be dragging, all right. San Francisco Giants finishing up one of the worst road trips in the history of Major League Baseball, going 0-6 and losing in hideous ways each and every day. So they're back home riding that crest of momentum with the Padres coming in tonight. And we keep talking about this. They're not going to cancel the season, although it might be a merciful end right now. So Tony Vitello has to do two things. One, he has to stop wishing he was back in Knoxville. That's probably the first thing. The second thing is find out a way to get productivity from this lineup so it doesn't come down to a one-run game that you blow late, which they have done over and over again. Other than that, my pep talk is over about the Giants. I will tell you about the schedule, which includes the Giants, the surging A's heading to Philly a little later. They lead the AL West. And, of course, the Lakers are going to start in OKC tomorrow. We'll go over all of the schedule courtesy of our longtime and outstanding sponsor, Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net when we go over the schedules for both stations. I will tell you about the great fundraising Ed does through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at Fresno State. Paul with me today. We will talk baseball, basketball. If we have time, we'll address Fresno State football. But before we get there, other lead dogs, as always, want to spend some time with you. First, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They afford me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Lee's has been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing. Anything you need, jump on the web to schedule an appointment at leesair.com or give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. I'll tell you about that momentarily. But first, as far as the seven-day forecast goes, after being in the 80s, we're back at 65. Actually, I think some people hit 90 over the weekend. We're back at 65 today with a chance of rain, sprinkles mainly anywhere along the South Valley, even North Valley. Maybe we'll get some in the central part of the area, but that would be around 7 o'clock or so tonight. Same applies tomorrow as we move back to 72, and then any chance will clear out, whether it's foothills or on the valley floor, and back to high pressure and an 80 on Wednesday. And then we start to turn into this time of year for real. 89 Thursday, 89 Friday, 93 Saturday, 99 Sunday, and it could be up as high as 102 by next Monday. Look, it's May in Fresno, and so this is a respite for the moment, and we'll see what happens today and tomorrow. If it does rain, obviously be careful out there. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, they're right there. And then finally, our good friend Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, been a longtime sponsor, a longtime friend, a terrific business over at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Townsuite 103. You can always give them a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or more information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Anything you need, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, it's all there under one roof. If you're someone who works around the valve, if you're a plant person, a maintenance worker, tanker delivery service operator, maybe you work around a boiler, might be at a dairy, if a valve is critical to your business, if one goes down, your business can go down and financially can be a catastrophic hit. One of the great aspects of Joe's business, the family-friendly service, the same-day estimates, ability to sit down with you, analyze the situation. If it's a minor issue, get you up and running immediately. If it's a bigger issue, start on it right away and get you up as soon as possible. And what Joe will do for you is not only solve the problems in a hurry, but if you have a few minutes afterward, he will tell you what he has done as a benefactor for Fresno State for over three decades. and we'll tell you the best avenue right now is to head to the main website at GoBulldogs.com to give to Fresno State, which is critically important. There's a donate there. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org has their link there. Club Red for former student athletes is right there. The major giving societies also have their avenues there, the Green Bee Society, the Myers Champion Circle. Then under ways to give, you have the sports clubs, you have Valley Co-op, which, of course, the matching funds in Valley Fueled. And in regard to those sports clubs, it enables you to give your money directly to a given sport. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me on Wednesdays to talk basketball. He's on the board of directors of the timeout club. He said they'd love to have more members, particularly younger members. He said you can call him anytime on his cell for more information, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, FurtickJack@AOL.com. There's also a link there for the Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports under that sports club header. And then finally, the one singular word link, more, will tell you about information for tickets and parking and other things on campus. So very important if Fresno State is going to keep up with the Joneses, never mind across the country, in the pack itself as we roll in just a couple of months. It's going to take a grassroots effort. We talk about it all the time. And the best way to start right now is at GoBulldogs.com, and we thank Joe Crew, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for not only what he does for Fresno State and for the station, but having the desire to tell everybody who he comes in contact with how you can help out at Fresno State. So thanks to Joe, everybody at Superior Pipe Stainless Supply. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. I'll tell you more about Ed's business later on when we go over the schedule. And thanks to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And right now on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430, it is the longtime voice here, Bulldog, a longtime friend of ours, and a visitor on air with me for over 25 years. It is Paul Leffler. Paul, how you doing? Guys,
Tony, I had you on mute because I was rolling my luggage away from the terminal to my car. Just got back to Fresno. It's not easy getting to the Palouse and back. But happy to be back. I didn't think it would be cooler in Fresno than it was in Washington and Idaho, but it is. So, I don't know what the word is. So relieved, so happy for the players yesterday. I mean, people don't see how hard this group's been working, how much they've invested. You know, you got a lot of freshmen playing well before their time, and they've done a lot of things well and just not enough to translate to wins. So to see them have the heart to pull that out yesterday on the heels of just getting flat out embarrassed 17-0, that was something special for those young players yesterday. And I think sometimes we get caught up in records and stats and expectations, and we forget that these are human beings with a lot going on. And you see how much it means to them to work together to get something done. And that was Coach Overland's message to him, has been for a while. You know, you need each other. None of you can do this on your own. And yesterday was a true team win, powered primarily by freshmen.
Well, Paul, we're going to get into that. There's a couple of things I need to address up front here, but don't necessarily pertain to Fresno State baseball, and I'll get to that in a second, but to put an exclamation point on your thought right now, we have brought up the comment that Teddy made football-wise long ago, which was the team itself is in the submarine just down below the surface. That's the ideal scenario, meaning all the outside noise, good, bad, or indifferent, depending upon how things are going, that is superfluous to the team's chemistry. And you need everybody, no matter what the outside world is saying, to stick together. And obviously, it has not been a pleasant time, and I know in the day and age of social media, and you're well aware of it, there's no way to against what's being said. Because of it, you're right. It's the job of the coaching staff to keep this cohesiveness together. I've asked you this before. 6 games to go. You've got 3 at home with UNLV, talking about in the regular season, and then you finish up at San Francisco. Mathematically, it's still possible. Practically, it probably isn't. But, Paul, your level of confidence, since you're closer from a media standpoint than anybody that no matter what's being said, and I threw in the towel 3 weeks ago, so I'm certainly someone who has already said it's not going to happen. But the attitude of the team, has it been fractured at all as you look at these guys trying to slog their way through what has been, I mean, I've been following this team or been a fan since the early 60s. I don't remember a stretch like this. Have they been able to maintain that cohesiveness that they need to stick together for one another interpersonally?
I believe they have. And, you know, that's a credit to them and the way they were raised. You know, and that's part of it. Every team has a different culture. And I think, you know, the baseball program annually has a lot of young men from families who are really invested in their lives. And that's not something everybody has, right? It's not something that's prevalent in every sport, but it has been in that sport for a long time. And these young men are invested in each other. And these coaches are invested relationally. And you know, Steve Hosey and Tom Goodwin, who's new to the program this year, you know, coming back, those guys are so engaged on a personal level with these guys. And I think they've earned overtime this year just on the encouragement piece and the heart-to-heart. Because, you know, it's not like people are not trying. It's not like anyone's thrown in the towel. And I think that was, you know, the big picture story yesterday was anybody who's saying that this team has quit or thrown in the towel or rolled over, I mean, that was exposed as just untruthful when you saw how this team fought yesterday, what they had to overcome to get a win, and just how they answered the bell after, you know, really hitting rock bottom Saturday. Because, you know, maybe people thought they hit rock bottom before, but when you get kicked in the teeth 17-0 and have your first mercy roll off in conference and nothing goes right, you only have three hits, that's a wake-up call if ever there was one. And they answered the bell. So it's most likely going to be too little too late. You know, they'd love to have some of those games back. An 11-5 lead in the eighth at Air Force, who still hasn't lost a home game, by the way, might end up going undefeated at home, and they'd be the only team in the country because they're the only team right now that hasn't lost a home game. That's going to be a big series with Washington State going there this weekend. San Diego State's on fire, and I don't think anyone's going to catch the Aztecs. But, you know, it's highly unlikely because this team's only won two conference games that they're going to win their last six. But if they do their part, it wouldn't shock me to see them get the help they need, because the other series for both San Diego State and UNLV is San Diego State, who's absolutely on fire and has won 11 in a row. And, you know, they could afford for those two teams to win a game against the Aztecs if they sweep both series. And then you've got the GCU part of the equation. So we're talking like a fraction of 1% in terms of their odds of making it to the Mountain West tournament. But they found a way to stay alive for another day. And honestly, if they do that again Friday and they do it again Saturday, they might just do it again Sunday. And then all of a sudden you're going into the final weekend saying, hey, maybe it's not over yet. But regardless of that, you know, they have to build toward next year. They have to finish this season showing some promise, showing some pride, showing some togetherness. Because individually, you know, all these guys have had moments. There's a lot of what ifs. What if Trevino had been available this year? He didn't play an inning, didn't have an at-bat. What if Riding had been available? What if Sotomayor hadn't missed as much time? You know, he didn't get to play at all at his old school this weekend, which he had really been looking forward to, because he's had three different injuries this year. You know, Munster's still out. They've got all these things working against them, but these freshmen are getting better. And the ones that I think showed it the most this week, we've talked a lot about the position player freshmen. I mean, they had three quarters of their infield yesterday were true freshmen. But the pitchers, Eric Rico, Brandon Thomas, and Jordan Haver, the way he finished yesterday, those three are true freshmen that could be the anchor of a rotation that we see for, you know, a couple more years at Fresno State. And that was the other, I think, thing that was evident. The team they were playing, Washington State, had 15 people go through senior day ceremony. This was a team that last year, in its first year in the Mountain West, finished dead last. Coming out of the Pac-12 to the Mountain West, they finished dead last. They won 14 games. They have a chance to win the regular season title or be one of the top two seeds and have a bye with almost exactly the same team as they had last year. The same exact pitching rotation, the same main players, couple additions here and there. But otherwise, it's the lumps they took last year, the way they learned to play together, the calibration of just how much little details matter, that's helped them have a complete turnaround season. They have, may have more conference wins this year than they had overall wins last year with the same team. So I think that is some context and perspective for the future at Fresno State. Most of the losses the Bulldogs have suffered are games that got away in the last seven, eight, you know, the seventh, eighth, or ninth. Little things can make that difference. Momentum makes a huge difference. If they hadn't blown that 11-5 lead on Pete Biden Day, their second conference game, I think they'd have, you know, seven or eight conference wins right now. It's that significant how little things can make a huge difference. So for them to finally find a way to, you know, swing an axe and bust that snowball into a thousand little pieces yesterday, because that's what it felt, the weight of the world on their shoulders. They'd lost 10 straight conference games. And they still have some monkeys to get off their back. They haven't won a game on Friday all year. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's never happened in the history of Fresno State baseball, and they certainly don't want to be the first team in Fresno State history not to win a Friday game. Not that the day of the week matters that much, but those are usually your biggest games, right? So they've got that in front of them. And, you know, what they do the rest of the way is how they're going to remember each other for the rest of their lives. So it's going to be fun to see what they can do. Maybe they can start a win streak tomorrow in Bakersfield. And then for the fans to come out this weekend against UNLV, and again, one day at a time, see if the Bulldogs can keep those very slim tournament hopes alive. And even if that comes to an end, which it likely will, you know, what are we looking for from the program? How are these guys carrying each other? What are they like as teammates? And what kind of hint of future success can we pick up on? I think there's a lot there. And we can go down the list of these players and what they've done and what they might do in the future. But, you know, from a personal standpoint, taking the frustration that the whole fan base has out of the equation and just looking at these young men and how much they care, to see them finally get rewarded with something they've fought so hard to get, you know, you had a feeling like they won a playoff game. That's kind of how it felt, because the burden had gotten so substantial. So hopefully there's a little bit of a load off their shoulders and they can play free and fun this week and see what they can do.
Well, I've got a couple other questions baseball-wise, but I do want to address these emails real quickly here before you and I, as is always the case, too quickly run out of time on air. One, Rego, yes, I told you, Rego, same thing I told Paul about the baseball team a few weeks ago. I will be delighted to be wrong about the baseball team making the final six. If they find a way to do it, I'm going to be a very happy guy. Rego, the same thing applies to Paul George. I thought their goose was cooked at 3-1. The fact they came back to beat the Celtics and Embiid, it's semi-healthy, although he got hurt again yesterday. If he can stay healthy, they do have a shot. So maybe Paul George, who has played well in the team since he came back from the suspension, and the team shot 55% from three yesterday. If they do that, maybe he does have a chance to be the first of our Mount Rushmore to pick up that world title. So I'm on your side on this. I just doubted it at 3-1, and I still doubt it now, but I'm going to bow to you about that. The second thing I wanted to bring up is, but I brought the Giants in my upsetness about that, but that's the Giants, and that's a different story. But the Padres in, I brought up something about the weirdest thing in Major League Baseball I've seen in a long time. It had to do with Mason Miller, who was the lights-out closer, who was an Oakland A, and, of course, now is with the Padres. Had a scoreless streak over 34-plus innings that he hadn't given up a run. Hasn't blown a save all year. Came in a non-save situation the other night against the Cubs. It was a three-run lead. It turned into four in the bottom of the eighth, and sometimes closers lose their focus. But you had a swinging bunt, someone who was so far out in front because somebody was sitting on his fastball, and, of course, he threw him an 87-mile-an-hour slider, rolled it up the third baseline. Third baseman waiting for it to roll foul. We've seen it happen a million times. If the ball stays fair, you're not going to throw the guy out. But the second it rolls across the foul line, you pick it up. Third baseman did it, and for some reason, the third base umpire, who had swung around to check it by being from home plate to third instead of behind the bag, pointed the wrong way and pointed fair when he meant foul. And for some, I'm sure of this, for some reason, didn't want to correct himself, and it wasn't reviewable. And Miller got so upset, taking it back, he gave up two runs. Never seen it happen before. The ball was clearly foul. Stevie Wonder couldn't have seen it was foul, and it was called fair. That's why I said strangest thing I had seen in a long time. And then the last thing, and Paul, this relates to you. This came from Victor. Yesterday in the NASCAR race in Texas, there was a 101-year-old veteran of the Iwo Jima conflict, okay, who was singing the national anthem. He wasn't reciting the national anthem. The man was 101 years old and was singing the national anthem and doing an amazing job. And at the very end, as he was finishing the anthem, and I'm sure the crowd was ready to stand as one, the feed on FS1 froze. The fiber optic feeds do this. When we first started with fiber optic feeds, they put backup satellite feeds. But for the last several years, they've said that was unnecessary. And Paul, incredibly, the entirety of the nation was deprived of the ovation because the feed remained frozen for about 2 minutes. And it just, Paul, it just broke my heart yesterday. And I know if you would have seen it, you would have said the same thing. Can you imagine a 101-year-old guy who was part of the Iwo Jima battle is singing the national anthem? That was just extraordinary. And I'm just crushed that we didn't get to hear the response of that huge crowd in Texas. I wanted to pass that along to Victor, and I wanted to pass it along to you, Paul, because I don't know how many 101-year-olds from Iwo Jima we still have left, okay?
Well, yeah, and I believe that was a gentleman named Don Grave, who I've never met, but we have some mutual friends, and people speak really highly of him. And hopefully that clip is online somewhere, even though we didn't all get to see it. But it's an interesting timing for you to bring that up, because we still have in Fresno a 100-year-old Marine who was on Okinawa. He just missed Iwo Jima, but he was on Okinawa, and he just had a fall this week. And so I'd ask everybody to pray for our friend Dave Fusinato, who's still a docent at the Legion of Valor downtown, that awesome museum that's open every day but Sunday, 10 to 3, free admission. Dave usually drives himself there in his T-Bird at age 100, but he's going to be on some rehab for the next few weeks recovering from a fall. So let's keep Dave in our prayers.
Oh, no question about it. And hopefully that somebody did on their phone, whatever, get the ovation that the gentleman deserved yesterday, because Fox itself, FS1, was completely frozen. And I checked three different feeds, and it was frozen on all of them. So it wasn't a local proposition. It was the emanation from the Speedway itself that caused that. And so it's a very unfortunate piece of timing. All right, Paul, I want to ask you about, as we head back to baseball, the recipe, as you know, for success, and this applies to both bat and ball sports, and incidentally, this, I talked to Matt Norville the other day, softball will start single elimination in the first round, same as the men, the same as the women had it first, softball had it first, now baseball has it. The Fresno State softball team will be in Reno. They will play New Mexico at 3 o'clock on Wednesday. If you win that, you're going to play number one seed Grand Canyon the next day at 3, but you will be in the double elimination round. If you lose that opening round game, you're out. It is a real tough proposition. We'll see what happens. But for both baseball and softball, they have not had, as we've talked over and over again, the national prominence they had throughout the 80s and 90s, etc. Paul, you know this. From both sides of Cedar, the recipe has been get the best products from the Valley, and then add the sprinkling of outstanding players from SoCal and NorCal that you can get here that aren't going to the UCLAs of the world, etc. And that's how you build a winner. Paul, does it still apply? I ask this because I saw Nyjah Kennedy on ESPN today, and again, she's at Texas Tech with a $1 million deal. She'll be drafted into the softball professional league later today on ESPN, but that's someone, as we've talked, who left Stanford to go to Texas Tech because of the money. Paul, the formula of local Valley products staying home and then getting the NorCal and SoCal blue chippers to come in. Can you still do it here? Is it possible?
It's possible, but you have to do it a different way. And I think this is the biggest thing that people don't understand. They look at the results being different and as if that the landscape hasn't changed. It has changed in more significant ways. I'll say this. College baseball, the difference between college baseball in 2026 and when Fresno State won it all in 2008, that is a more giant chasm than if you take 2006 compared to 1935. The game has changed more in this last decade than it had for 100 years because the advantages that the power schools have only been amplified and multiplied. And then you have this added – see, this is – you and I talked about this a couple years ago, and, you know, I wish money grew on trees so this would have been easier to do. But the window of opportunity, I believe, was finding a way to fund more scholarships as soon as the NCAA pushed that rule through. And I know most of your listeners are tied into this, but some people may not be. For decades, college baseball has been limited to 11.7 scholarships per school. Now, in addition to the NIL money, and teams in the SEC are spending millions on their rosters, in addition to that, you have this optional scholarship limit. Anyone can fund up to 34 scholarships if they want to, but they're not required to. So clearly the schools who do have a huge advantage. A lot of people don't realize that baseball hasn't been a full scholarship sport and that a lot of the great players have been walk-ons and many more have been on small partial scholarships. Now the power schools are giving 34 full rides. Other schools are choosing to prioritize baseball. You know, Coastal Carolina being the most notable. Everybody wanted to know, well, how's Coastal Carolina in the championship game? Well, Coastal Carolina spends about twice as much on baseball as they do on basketball. They've decided this is a sport where we can be competitive, and we're going to use that advantage. So if Fresno State made an administrative decision, you know, within the university to prioritize baseball and invest more there, or more likely scenario, the community, including motivated alumni, decided to really invest in baseball in terms of funding additional scholarships, in terms of improving facilities, because that's the difference. Yes, that's the formula. Get local guys to stay home and recruit people from other parts of the state who, by the way, those guys come from other parts of the state and they stay here and they invest in our community. I could give you example after example of that, of guys who are from the Bay Area or Sacramento or L.A., but who played here and stayed here or stayed connected to here. Yes, that's the formula. But how you acquire that talent, how you build that roster has changed in significant ways because of the advantages that other schools now have. And for some people, that's a bitter pill to swallow to realize that schools like Cal Poly, like UC Irvine, have invested more heavily in their baseball programs, and a recruit now looks at those three schools and sees reasons beyond academics, and that could be based on your major, but they see other reasons to make that choice. So, you know, you want to be able to recruit from an even playing field. You want to be at least even in facilities. You want to be even in scholarships, and you want to know what your distinctives are. So, you know, some of the ways you counteract some of those disadvantages are with culture, are with the kind of people you bring in. And Matt Entz is doing the same kind of thing, right? In football, it's the kind of player that you think has the mentality that your program embodies. And Fresno State's done a lot of that. And if you look at the roster right now for baseball, you see a lot of local talent. You see a lot of young talent. And there's no doubt in my mind, if the bulk of this freshman class stays together and stays healthy, this can be a very successful program in a league that's going to be different as well. That's the other factor, right? The Mountain West is an oddball baseball league. There's no other league in the country like it that has these altitude stat-skewing parks that make it harder to recruit pitching, that you know is going to be a one-bid league, that causes you to change your calculus for success because of the field that you're playing on. So it's been a different era. These last 15 years have been an era completely different from any other era of Bulldog baseball. And some people may hear that and say, well, those are excuses. And I would say, no, you still have to find a way to win no matter what your situation is. But you can't be in denial and pretend that this is 1985 again and you have access to the same players you had then without your competition making giant leaps forward in how they're supporting their programs. So what I would love to see with Bulldog Baseball, and again, there's a lot of wish lists, but to me, the only way Fresno State is going to be nationally relevant in any sport is if you have people who become advocates for that specific sport. We've seen it before here. We could see it again. But it's going to take incredible community support, and there may be tough decisions that have to be made in the administration to say, okay, strategically, what are the sports where we're more likely to have success? Success generates championships. Success generates revenue. If you invest, just like someone playing the stock market, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are checking their account every day to see what's up and what's down, and they're moving investments. They're saying, no, this investment is performing poorly. I need to move this capital to an investment that's performing better. I think we're going to see outside the power conferences a lot of athletic departments make those kind of decisions and say, if I invest this much money here, it's yielding this return. But if I invest it over here, not only is it going to benefit this program, the success of that program can then in turn benefit those other programs. And we're already seeing that in some spots. Unfortunately, we're seeing some programs get cut in some places because, they have to find a way to fund football. They have to find a way to, have revenue sharing and all these new elements of a landscape, again, that's just had a complete paradigm shift. So it'll be interesting in the next 5-10 years to see what kind of decisions are made. But, it would be a shame to have a program, well, on both sides of Cedar. Both of those programs have such incredible traditions of success back when there were advantages. Now, I would say, relatively speaking, both of those programs are facing disadvantages that a lot of people never thought that they would face. And that doesn't mean they're doomed. It doesn't mean nothing can be done about it. But it's going to take creative leadership, and it's going to take investment from the fan base and from the alumni to get those programs where they need to go. It's far beyond just hiring the right coach or, having a local recruiting strategy. There's a need for investment and support that I think wasn't always there. And I also think we've been spoiled by teams that overachieved given their relative resources. So I'm looking forward to the future. I think we will see some developments in the next couple of years that'll change the game day experience at the ballpark, and hopefully that can engage the alumni and create more and better opportunities for student athletes. But it is, I can't say this enough. You and I have talked about it before. Maybe some people don't want to hear it, but this is a completely different sport and just paradigm than we've ever seen before. It's not apples to apples. So the need for creativity and clear, bright, and genius strategy has never been bigger than it is today.
Yeah, Paul, your points are well taken. And along those lines, Jason had sent me an email and said, for so many years, Memorial Day weekend, and this was a time, keep in mind, before the expansion to super regionals, et cetera, so many years, and I'm talking about in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s into the early 2000s. Now, the men's side of thing, baseball got to the super regional prior to the softball side of things getting there. But the point is, for many, many years, Memorial Day weekend meant two things. It meant the national championship being contested for softball beginning in the 80s when the NCAA took over. And it meant regional time for the men, and it meant we were looking at usually 8-16 regionals. But it was taken for granted, and Jason said, he did the same thing. He took it for granted that every Memorial Day weekend, the two Fresno State bat and ball sports were going to be in contest with the hope of a national championship, whether one was right there or one was at a regional trying to get there. And he said, he didn't know what he had till it was gone. And that is now something that seems to be, in many respects, Hubble telescope range away. It seems to be out of reach. And, Paul, I sent him an email back and said, as a guy, as was the case with you in the 2000s, who was calling those games, I took it for granted, Paul, that it was going to happen every year. that every year it was time, you know, with the professional commitments I had, that I was going to make time to make sure that I was where those teams were at, if at all possible. And, Paul, there were times when I felt it was a burden because of the scheduling. I look at it now, Paul, and I miss it desperately. And there have got to be so many people in the silent majority from a fan base standpoint, never mind a career standpoint, that probably feel the same way that Jason does, that it was just taken for granted, right?
Without a doubt, you know, and that's the hard thing, Tony, is, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and it's real easy to say, well, you know, so-and-so should have done this, and so-and-so should have done that. You know, every school president, every athletic director has been dealing with, you know, so many factors that we don't see. So, you know, you think back, Bob Bennett had a vision. That stadium got built. Coach Bennett had a vision to expand and enhance. And, you know, because of the climate at the time, and it wasn't the fault of advocates for women's sports, Title IX is important, right? And one of the reasons softball became so successful is there were some of the greatest Title IX champions in the country were here in Fresno. But some of, you know, the cost at the time was tension, was a loss of momentum, was mixed signals to alumni who wanted to donate, who were concerned that, you know, their money wasn't going to go where they wanted it to go.
Right.
So that was an opportunity to maybe set up Fresno State baseball for longer term success at the time. And it's similar to football, right? I mean, Pat Hill saw everything that's happening today coming 25 years ago. And, you know, he couldn't say it any more loudly than he did. But ultimately, there were other concerns that, you know, prevented Fresno State from doing some of the things that in a perfect world he would have liked to seen done. And so it's, you know, you can look at that and someone can say, well, I told you so, or they told you so. But, you know, you have to evaluate things from what's happening at the time. And right now, it's the same thing. You know, can you sit here and bemoan, well, if we had done this 20 years ago, X, Y, Z, or if this happened, we'd be in one of those conferences. None of that matters. What matters is, where do you go from here? And this community is the reason we have a football stadium. It's the reason we have that baseball stadium. It's the reason we've seen so many memories made. It's everybody working together. And, you know, that sounds simple. Maybe people think that's Pollyanna, but there's no doubt in my mind that's the secret sauce. If you want to see great things happen at Fresno State, community engagement is the way to go. And giving the fans ownership, right? Giving the people of the Valley a voice and an investment. And so, you know, I believe that applies at an institutional level. And if you are a good caretaker of that relationship and you build trust and you show people that you're trustworthy and worthy of their investment, they're going to invest. And that's a daily process that, you know, that has to be your focus. And I think on the micro level with each one of those sports, you know, if you hire coaches who have that vision, who say, yeah, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to press the flesh and I'm going to bang the drum and I'm going to cast a vision that people want to get behind. And, you know, you can have a lot of people supporting all the sports, but I think you're going to need people that are specifically invested in each individual sport to really drive them forward and make them competitive. Because the advantages that existed decades ago have now become disadvantages. And, you know, if you sit still, you fall further behind.
We'll see what happens. And, of course, softball team still has a shot mathematically, as you mentioned, Paul. For baseball, you hold on to the rope, and we'll see what happens against UNLV this weekend. All right, before I let you go, and we're too short on time as usual, I want to ask you very quickly, and I'll talk to Jackson about it tomorrow, about the acquisitions now, the commitments basketball-wise. How do you feel about this? This is the critical year. Obviously, it's a critical year in many respects. You're going into a new conference. It's going to be top-heavy. Top-heavy is how conferences are viewed. We'll talk about that next week. It's not well-balanced that gets you national prominence. It's top-heavy conferences, and we're going to see that with Gonzaga coming in basketball. We're certainly going to see it with Dallas Baptist and Oregon State coming in baseball. But for what Vance is able to do, has been able to do, Paul, in the last couple of months, the optimism there that this is going to be that kind of year where people say, hey, starting to turn the corner. How do you feel about it?
Well, I sure hope so, right? I know how invested he is, you know, literally and figuratively. And certainly, you know, the fan base deserves it. But without having seen these guys play together as a team, I mean, it's impossible anymore, yeah, Tony. I mean, people are doing these preseason polls, and I think we talked about this before. They named Michigan the preseason number one team. They don't even know what the roster is going to be. And, you know, none of these rosters are really complete. Every team is turning over. And it's not, you know, as much as basketball has one-on-one, it's not an individual sport. It's how you perform as a team. So, you know, it's going to require seeing these guys. You have some guys who put up solid numbers who have been good team players at the place they've been. You know, I saw Hennig at Cal Baptist twice last year when the Lancers beat the Dogs twice last year. I thought he was effective and a good team player. They're obviously going to have more shooting. I think there are a couple other pieces that we're waiting to hear about. You know, there are some names that I've heard Fresno State is in the mix in. Some of the, you know, in my opinion, the best shooter that Fresno State played against all year last year is in the portal, and the Dogs are one of the teams that he's considering. If that happened, that would be really exciting. But, you know, point guard play is going to be important. Defense is going to be important. And team chemistry and staying healthy. You know, injuries were a big factor this year. But one thing we do know for certain, it's going to be a very, very, very challenging basketball league, and the level of competition is going to be top-notch. So, you know, it needs to be a lot better to be effective in that new conference, and I'm looking forward to getting a taste of it once the guys are all on campus and practicing.
No doubt about it. Paul, I appreciate it. I'll leave you with this thought. Have a great week, and I hope there is success at home over the weekend and in Bakersfield first before UNLV comes in. But there was a story in the American, San Jose Mercury News, saying that the new CW deal with ESPN that we talked about today will benefit one school, and that school is up in Spokane. So maybe we have the new Boise State, ladies and gentlemen. We have all those years the Mountain West talking about favoritism. Now maybe it's housed in Spokane, and that everything that's being done will be done to the benefit of Gonzaga. All I will tell you is if that happens, and those Bulldogs, the Zags, make it to the NCAA, I think we could put Animas behind us, Paul, and pull for him, as opposed to Boise State. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, time will tell. But it's interesting you mentioned that, because Spokane is where I woke up this morning and just flew home from. And people see a Bulldog on your shirt in Spokane, they say, go Dogs. So they may not be talking about the same Bulldogs you're talking about, but if there's a little bit of a coattail to ride, or, you know, a rising tide raises all ships, I don't think the Bulldogs would turn that down.
I'm laughing because I think maybe the best way to phrase it is say, at least in the foreseeable future, there won't be a problem. If it persists, then maybe there will be a little bit of animosity. As you know, resentment tends to grow during conference time, right, Paul?
I have gotten a taste of that. The name Nevada seems to come to mind a little bit.
Really? You think? How about Hawaii in every sport, too? All right, Paul. Listen, have a great one this weekend. I'll certainly be in touch, my friend. Take care. I'll see you.
Adios.
All right, guys. Voice your Bulldogs, Paul Leffler. Take a break. Come back. Tell you about the schedule. Hand it off to Phil. He has three outstanding hours for you. And then the Giants, all kidding aside, though I wasn't kidding, really need to use home cooking to right the ship, because that was brutal, absolutely brutal. You lose six. Oh, man, that's enough out of me about that. All right, I'll regroup. We'll all regroup, take the break, come back with the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. 53, a few minutes ago in the show, I handed off to Billy Craig Show behind the bench. The full 3 hours. Again, you can reach him on the Leaves Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. And remind you that on Thursdays, Phil is always at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Evedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show. Some good eats as well. El Paso across the River Park. And the Reset the Floor sale is still underway at Fashion, so stop by and see the great furniture and the great sales that come along with it right now. As far as the lineup goes on both 1430 and 790, it's brought to you by our great friend Ed Dunkel in his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Ed has been a sponsor for a long while and a great benefactor for Fresno State, his alma mater, always helping out financially through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. The goal always to unify athletics and academics, to provide more funding resources to students. It worked beautifully over the years, and anybody who is there has a great chance from Lyles College of Engineering on campus to go right to work for Ed, and a lot of them do. And, of course, Ed has one of the great businesses in the Valley and really in the country, and one of the outstanding civil engineering entities you're going to find anywhere in the world, and we thank him for everything he does for his alma mater. Ed just arrived in his 60s, by the way, just a year or two ago, as I am very quickly ready to depart my 60s, which depresses me in ways you can't imagine. We'll see if I'm lucky enough to get to 70. That's problematic at best, but we thank Ed for everything he does, and right now he allows me the time to tell you about the schedule. Giants and the Padres, again tonight, 6:15, the pre, 6:45, the first pitch. Two evening games, afternoon game that'll have our time slot on Wednesday. The Giants really do have to get it in gear. The A's go to Philly. That is where they started, as the A's started in Philly and then went to Kansas City, then went to Oakland, then went to Sacramento, and then we'll go to Vegas. But the A's are playing really well. They have a two-game lead in the AL West. I don't know how many people expected that. They'll get underway tomorrow. For us, the Giants will continue, and tomorrow we will have the Lakers starting that series against the defending NBA champion Thunder in OKC, who they are really the Seattle Supersonics, okay? Although Seattle is going to get its own team, I think, again. But if the Lakers can find a way to win this best-of-seven series, they have a legitimate chance to win the NBA title. But getting past OKC is an entirely different proposition. They'll start at 5:30 tomorrow, at 5:15 pre, over on 790. Want to remind you, too, about the shows beyond Phil's show. Paul Mitters, our good friend, has two great shows. Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics on our sister station, the Deuce 790, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings. Also, Paul has his outstanding long-running show on Saturday mornings on 1430 from First String Sports. That's Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. We still have play-by-play coming up from FPU as well. And obviously everything from Major League Baseball all the way through the World Series. We have the NFL coming up with 49ers, Raiders, Rams games, and everything through Westwood One. And the great feature for us, and we can't wait to get started again with Fresno State. We are the flagship once again beginning July 1. So we'll tell you all about that. It's a partnership between the university and this radio station. It is an unprecedented move to try to benefit Fresno State with the marketing from the radio station side. Instead of somebody paying rights fee and reaping benefit, is the better the station does, the better the university does. And that's why the focus is going to be from Cedar to everything we're doing at the station to benefit Fresno State beginning on July 1. And, of course, we'll have the play-by-play for all Fresno State sports for both men's and women's on 1430 and 790. Final reminder here, everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcasts there. For this show, you can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. First names are fine. Again, thanks to Lexi. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks, as always, to Paul Leffler. I'll talk Bulldog basketball with Jackson Moore tomorrow. Phil is coming up momentarily, and the final thank yous come once again to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And again, give Phil a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. We'll see you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.